those Rayburns. They Laius Maximus. Stay tuned and check out the recap for Bloodline Season 3, Episodes 6 and 7 right here on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, we're getting into it, Allison.
I love it.
We're getting into this final season of Bloodline.
Sort of. We're finally getting into it.
I know. A lot more lead up still building. We're climbing this mountain, everyone. Climbing the mountain.
Trekking.
Welcome, everyone, to the Bloodline After Show. How's everyone doing out there? We're very excited to have you in. We are coming close to the end of our season three, and our hearts are breaking with every show because we want more.
True.
So true. We're covering episodes 6 and 7 tonight. I am your host, Blake V, and I am joined by my fabulous counterpart.
I'm Allison Dean.
That's right.
Yes, you can find me everywhere at The Allison Dean.
Beautiful, and you can find me everywhere at Blake V Media. Be sure to give us thumbs up, 5 stars, all the good stuff everywhere where you're listening to us for podcasts or on YouTube. We love that.
Yes, indeed.
And let's jump into it. Okay, so episode 6.
Yes.
Since episode 1, we've been just building. We've got all of this building.
We also have a lot of new characters that still, we're in episode 6 and 7, still I'm like, who are you? And also new characters where I'm like, wait, I don't remember you either.
Wait, what?
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yes. So the big storyline essentially in these 2 episodes is the trial.
The trial.
Right? The trial of the century.
Yes.
Or something. Or something. So basically we're sort of seeing an in-depth look now at Eric's side of it all. He's now got this very sassy attorney.
I like her.
Let's talk about her for a second.
I'm into, yes.
Miss Santos.
Yes. Mia Santos.
Yeah, she's just like, I love the way she communicates with Eric. She's just like,
right?
Curse word.
Yeah.
We're just keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love it.
I mean, if he's saying F every other word, then she has to realize. Yeah, right. You have to at that point, you know?
To be on that
fire
communication
with fire.
Level. Yes. Yes. And single-handedly is the one saying like, no, I believe you. I'm going to fight for you in court. And really is doing a great job. Just really pulling all the stops, just getting all that information out there, and really throws a curveball to the Rayburns. I mean, they thought this was a closed case, done, whatever. And it wasn't.
No, it was not.
It was not.
It was not. In episode 6, it was not.
Right? We had our moment of fight.
We had our
moment of Eric O'Bannon uprising, and it's okay. I enjoyed it for 1 episode. For what we had it for, I enjoyed it. So in episode 6, in terms of the trial, just sort of in terms of Eric, you know, he's watching Kevin on the stand.
Yep.
Well, John goes first.
John goes first.
We see John on the stand. John sets the precedent of just lies.
Wow. I actually wrote that on my notes. Lies.
Yes.
That's what I wrote.
Yes.
Lies. John.
Just straight up fabrication of the whole story. And
even with Lenny Potts looking directly in his eye, it was still lies.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's especially pointed because, you know, their attorneys are sort of introducing him as a witness by saying, oh, he's this very decorated, celebrated leader of the community, a trusted police officer, all of this. And then it's just like, boof, lies.
So many lies. Yeah. And I think the thing that really was icing on the cake for me, it was almost as though after he had had the conversation with Lenny Potts in the men's room, after all that, and you thought, okay, there is some semblance of hope that John will rise above. No. It got worse. Then he somehow insinuated on the stand that Eric also had a hand in killing Danny.
Yay. Right?
I was like,
right? I know. And then that's when Eric had the outburst.
Right.
And it was just like, I loved it. I loved that reaction because, okay, how many trials have you seen on TV, for example, where like things are going awry, real life, and the people just have to sit there and take it? Like, you can't. You are not allowed to react or do anything.
Not cool.
So how hard would that be? Someone's just straight up lying. You're about to face death or 30 years in prison. It's like, my God.
I mean, really,
it's a hot mess.
It is, because the fact of the matter is, anyone that's taking on the Rayburn family, I mean, unless there is just hard evidence that hasn't been buried or thrown away or, I don't know, or manipulated in some way.
Right.
Unless there's hard evidence, you really just...
What can you do? You can't do anything. And really...
You can hope that Kevin fumbles over himself. And that kind of... That kind of happened in a way where... I mean, truly, I think the only thing that could bring this all down is... I don't know if this is a prediction or not, but whatever. Keep this in mind.
Belle teaming up.
Something happening.
Truth.
Right.
Yes.
Because at this point, they're the only two that are beginning to see that this family is not as it appears.
Yes.
Well, Diana saw it first, of course, and has been sheltering this information. But now that Belle has sort of said to her, I think this was episode 7, sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like they're really the only... That's it.
Yeah, and that was actually a bombshell, because since we're talking about John on the stand, we can jump to episode 7 and just touch on Kevin on the stand too, because really, you know, John set the precedent of lying. Kevin got up there, which he's been practicing for days at this point.
Yes.
Lies again, has to straight up point at Eric O'Bannon. He did it, knowing he didn't do it. And on the fly makes up the lie about Belle. And you could see on Belle's face.
On her face.
Like,
mortified.
What?
Mortified. She knew. At that moment, she knew, oh my gosh, my husband
is a big fat
lying.
Liar.
You know,
big old liar.
I thought it was actually kind of interesting, too. I thought it was interesting how, so when they were in the final, like, day of prep, and it was Kevin, this was, I think, the opening of episode 6. Kevin was in that room, and he had all of his notes in front of him, yada, 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 and John's like, put that away. Put that away. And it's, like, threatening Kevin to put it away, because if he gets caught with it, then it goes into evidence, yada, 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 and there's all these very incriminating notes on the page, which we see when Belle's looking at all the notes. But I thought it was interesting, because the sort of dynamic between the two of them, how heated it's getting, and how it's almost like John really does resent Kevin on so many levels, and yet at the same time I find it so interesting that he's coming to his aid, coming to his rescue.
Yeah.
I mean, all these different things, and I know obviously all of this stems from everything that happened with Danny, but at the same time it just sort of,
well, if you think about it, they're both very deep in this hole together.
Oh, well, yes.
As innocent as they may think each one is individually, no, because they both have a lot of dirt on their hands, you know?
Are they going to kill each other?
Wouldn't that be something? Because you think about it, you know, regardless, at the end of the day, John did what he did to Danny, and everybody knows it now, including their mother. You know, at the end of the day, Kevin did what he did to Marco, and everybody knows it now, including their mother. So it's like there's nothing left to hide, and as much as they want to, like, one-up the other, they're really on the same level at this point.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So it is interesting seeing that struggle. Like, John really wants with all his heart to be the one to still put Kevin down, you know? But Kevin is now, as we've seen in previous episodes, he's really kind of, like, trying to kind of, you know, get that
man
footing
up
for himself.
Well, I don't know.
You know, but at least, like, speak up for himself and,
yeah,
and be on that level of sort of defense when it comes to John putting him down. But it's like, I don't know. Now it's very equal. It's a very equal playing field. So maybe just to kind of wrap up Belle, since we're on that train. Belle discovers the notes of the testimony that Kevin is giving on the stand. Sees the craziness, the lies that are happening, and then she says, things are not adding up. He lied about me. He's lying about all these other things. Let's see what is happening here. And then she goes to Diana to call out some information on John.
Says they're all lying.
Yeah.
They're all lying.
Yeah. Lo
In
and
fact,
behold,
yes. Okay, did you pause it, though? So on when she was looking over the testimony...
I did not pause it. What did it say, girl? Did you take a screenshot?
It.
Okay.
So one of the things, one of the notes on the side of some of the whatever, it said, Roy to check with S on this.
Who is S?
Well, but it's also Roy. Roy has nothing to do with any of this. So why is Roy checking on or whatever, right? So it could be, or what was the, who was the...
The shooter.
Right.
I only know him as coroner.
Right.
Does he have a name?
He does. He does. Anyhow. But anyway, so that was in the notes. Clearly.
Aye, Roy. Oh, gosh. And then Belle, I think, because Belle has been defending the relationship between Kevin and Roy.
The whole time.
She's saying, oh, he's just a generous man.
Right.
Just giving us trucks and
right.
whatever else. Nope. Kindly gestures.
Mm-mm.
And no, she's seeing now on the notes his name's all written up in these lies. And she's having this moment of clarity, which was very interesting to me because I feel like it's a long time coming. Kevin's been a little shifty for a while now.
Ooh, that's a good word for it.
You know? And she's really, like, not asking the questions all along that I thought one would, given a relationship with Kevin. Only now we're finding out what's happening. So kind of working it out with Diana here, John doesn't have a good alibi either because Diana doesn't know where he is. So it's a very interesting setup for the lady front, Diana and Belle.
I mean, in a way, John, no matter what, kind of has an alibi just in the sense that he has proof of being in that bus terminal. He has proof that that cop drove him back to the Keys or whatever. So I don't think John is incriminating himself in any way of like, oh, he had literally something to do with what happened to Marco. I mean, he had something to do in the fact that when Kevin was calling him frantically, right. I think on the way to, did he call him on the way to going to see Marco? Or just after he had bludgeoned?
I think it was Marco. All after. Well, no, that's not true. No. Did he call John? That's a very interesting fact check. Because at first I was going to say no, but then I'm thinking maybe he did. But now I'm back to no, because he and Megan decided to put up the front
right.
against
just,
John.
Right.
So no, I think only the frantic calls came after the bludgeoning. Yes. Wow. Yes. It's a lot of moving parts, people. It's a lot of moving parts here. One thing that I thought was very interesting, Allison, tell me how you feel about this, is in the beginning of episode 6, we saw Nolan pay Chelsea a visit.
Yep.
And it was a very friendly visit. Very friendly. He's trying to give some money. Mm-hmm. He's trying, you know, whatever they've have this relationship that I thought was very strange. I know that Nolan knows Eric. Eric was best friends with his dad, and they had some sort of interaction at some point. But Chelsea, I don't know about their closeness. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Nolan, at least from conversation, we can infer perhaps that there was conversations that Nolan and Danny had about Eric and Chelsea, because Chelsea was obviously there when they were growing up, and so
she's in the know.
Yeah, I think she's in the know, and so I think that there was probably some stories about her bailing them out on many occasions.
Yeah.
Something. So in that way, I didn't think it was so unusual, although yes, it's the first time that we've seen them together, I think.
Yeah, and really talking on that sort of friendly level. Another good friend of Chelsea's, mysteriously, is Beth.
Beth, again, the Beth.
We still don't know who Beth is.
7 episodes in. Very, very much in the know with everything having to do with the Rayburns and the O'Bannons and all that jazz.
And what did Beth say, or Chelsea said, when they were at the lunch, when they were lunching?
So Beth said to Chelsea that Eric asked her to go find Lenny Potts to have him in court when John was testifying.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So what do they know? And what is this whole Lenny Potts? Everyone's just talking in circles here, and it's driving me nuts. We got Lenny Potts saying he did a bad thing, this and that, and it wasn't your family, it was something else.
So here's what I suspect. I suspect that Danny had mentioned to Beth, perhaps, that, and obviously he had already mentioned this to, he had mentioned this probably to Eric on a number of different occasions, that the family lied to Lenny Potts. Lenny Potts, who was doing who was behind the investigation with what happened to him and the apparent car accident that happened, and that's why Danny was injured and yada, yada, yada. So I think they knew of this man who was sort of uncovering things, and Lenny sent Danny those tapes of...
Right.
I don't know. Lenny's been in the mix. So I think that there's been some Lenny. It's just we're getting a lot more... We're having to connect a lot of dots this season so far. We're connecting dots.
It's a lot of work on the viewer's part, let me just say. We also have Beth's, testimonial of Ozzy the fact that he's a changed man.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that was the element we got.
He's coming to town. He's a changed man.
He's new. He's reborn.
Yes.
Although I did appreciate it when we saw him. And I was like, are you?
Are you now? Are you now? Still getting some creepy vibes from Ozzy. I don't know how.
Well, now it's like the 180 changed. Of it. It's like, okay, you were creepy before. Now you're creepy again, but for very different reasons. You're
creepier.
Yeah, or something.
Something.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Uh-huh.
We come into this with Chelsea really hitting the skids at work.
Oh, gosh.
As if things aren't bad enough in the personal life. She's having some trouble at work. She had an issue with the Percocet last episode. Like,
she took
before.
It. She took it.
And by issue, I mean she took it. And then they found her out. So,
well, first, in episode 6,
she
just gets a bad review from we don't know who, right? It's just a random bad review. So she's been at this hospital for 10 years with nothing but glowing reviews. She has one bad review. She's called into the office. I was like, that is not okay.
No, right? You give 10 years to this hospital, and this is what... No. Regardless, bad review, okay, fine, whatever. But then they do the inventory. Percocet's missing.
No, yes. And the cameras. They refer to the video. Of course there's video in there.
Oh, Chelsea.
Chelsea, why would you do this?
I know. And then
my heart ripped from my chest. I was like, please, Lord.
And the worst part is she had like some other job offer or some other hospital or something. And she goes, did you have to tell them? And she's like, yes, I had to tell them. Oh, Chelsea.
She's going to have to, like, change her name. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's real. Bad. It's not good. It's not good for Chelsea.
So at that point, she goes to the jail. I don't know if she goes. Yeah, I think she does go to the jail. Is he at the jail?
Well, no. Eric? I think first she meets John late night for one last, like, hurrah. Attempt. Of, please help my brother. Obviously she has no idea all this backstory of lies that's going on.
And the picture.
And the picture, right. And this was the way that she knew that I think that there was an extra layer of he's in on it. Because it was a photo that he was torn out of.
Yeah.
And she gave it to him like, hey, have you not seen this? And he was like, I've never seen it. And of course he has because he was in the photo.
And I think she very pointedly asked him, what happened?
Oh, that day.
She asked him what happened to the arm? And he goes, I don't know. But then it's like, you're in the photo.
Yes, you do. You have to know. Yes, you do. Right. Yes. Of course.
So, given that was sort of like the momentum that propelled Chelsea to go back to Eric and say, let's do it.
Let's fry him up. Yep. I said fry him. Funny. You know, I will say this, though. It's interesting the dynamic between John and Chelsea. Like, there's this unspoken chemistry that exists between them. I don't know if you feel it, but I always feel it. It's sort of just like... I don't know. I just feel something there. Like, he really wants to help her on some level. And especially now that he's so effed up on so many levels that he, like, kind of connects to the fact that she's sort of, you know, always trying to rise above and kind of can't get past it.
I kind of don't get that.
Really? I totally get that. Yes! But no, and then he just keeps screwing her. Like, not even in a positive way. Just
plain screwed.
Yep.
Yes. And... you know, she's really seeing John for what he is now too at this point, because she is just like done with him. At first she was sort of, you know, okay,
hanging on,
yeah, and like, my brother's a mess and sure, I'll help you and all of this. And now she's just completely flipped. She's just on the opposite team. And so now she's decided to give the deposition. She has kind of this story and this explanation. Then they're going, why haven't you come forward with this information since? And she admitted, I was afraid of what the Rayburns would do to me. Afraid for her safety.
Of course she was.
So one other really big part of episode 6 that I've been trying to figure out for the past couple episodes is Sally. We were left on the cliffhanger in like episode 3, I think, where she's like, I have to confess. And we're like, confess what? Well, we see her with Father Lopez.
Yep.
And she's letting it out. She's hit her wall, I suppose. And she's really struggling with the hot mess that is her life. And she fully admits that sometimes she hates her kids, which... could you blame her? Big mess. It's a big old mess. Anyways, at least in this moment. Sure, she could have made other choices as a mother, but in this moment.
Wow, yes.
You know.
My family is cursed, she says.
My family is cursed. And Nolan on his Goodwill tour.
Yes, on the Goodwill tour.
On the Goodwill tour.
Fascinating.
Goes to visit Sally.
Yep.
Bringing back full circle to Sally, trying to deposit this money, this $2,000 or whatever. Now, he's saying that this was Danny's money.
Or something, but he also is saying that somehow this has to do with the fact that his mom stole from her, so he wants to repay. And I was like,
which, oh, by the way, where did the mother go?
So this is their way of, putting a bow around that. Ugh. Because literally she just fled
town.
I guess.
They both did. They just like disappeared. Nolan and the mother.
But they didn't disappear together is the thing.
It's very strange.
It's very strange. That part is very strange. She clearly got some other gig.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, can't get her back. We're going to have to button this up somehow.
Something.
I guess.
To be continued
on that. I'm very surprised about that, actually. Yeah. But anyway.
Maybe in a flashback we'll get some answers. But speaking of...
We can always hope for the flashback.
We can always count on the Bloodline flashback. Now, speaking of a flashback, kicking off episode 7
yes.
was this horrible dream
Yuck.
Thing
yes.
that Meg is having of being a little girl. The house is all dark and spooky. Someone's coming at the front door. She's running to the front door trying to lock it. It won't lock. It's like someone's coming in and then waking up.
And actually, I was very confused about that until she spoke of the dream. And then I realized, oh, because I was like, why is it not locking? I kept going.
What is wrong with clearly, you, Meg?
She's clearly locking this thing. And it's just, what's happening?
And given the kind of weaving of that dream throughout the episode, we also come to find that Kevin has that dream sometimes. John admits that Kevin has had the dream. And then we get a visual of John having the dream at the very end. So it's like, is this a dream? What is this?
Or did this happen?
What is this? Is it a memory?
Well, they also talked about like playing hide and go seek, and she hated playing hide and go seek. So mm-hmm. And she was never good at it. So I was like, is she hiding from? I don't know. Hide better.
Hide better, people.
I hope that's what the tattoo says.
Yeah. Just like
hide better.
It was like a large tribal piece, and it's just made up by little hide betters all over. woven in. Hide better. It'll never leave her now.
Then we finally see Meg again.
Yeah.
Finally. Meg has, right. I think, transplanted herself to what looks to be Los Angeles, since I live here and I can say I think it was L.A.
Yes, I think there was a scene, too, at the end with the Griffith Observatory, so yes. I think
But nothing said L.A. anywhere, right?
No, it was not a definitive L.A., but the visuals were very L.A.
All right.
Meg, I just want to say how
or Amy.
Impressed. Oh yeah, Amy.
Amy.
Code word Amy. I am so impressed with this this relocation, this skip in town.
She could have called herself Jem.
She could have. A lot of name.
A little too close.
A lot of name options she could have done. But regardless, I was very impressed.
That she just was like, peace.
Done.
Nice house, nice setup, getting tattoos, got a good, interesting group of friends already. That's it.
It looked amazing. It looked like an amazing relocation.
She looked happy.
Very happy. That house.
Lovely.
God, Meg.
What of you?
Meg was really raking it in.
I guess so.
Is that Florida Keys attorney?
I don't know. Yeah.
worked in New York for 2 months.
2 months.
And
that's all it takes. Just
go to
be
the Hollywood
lawyer,
Hills.
Be a lawyer in New York for two months and off you go.
Got it made.
Yeah, that's it.
Back to the Hollywood Hills.
Yep.
Regardless, it looked amazing. But now I'm still a little fuzzy on the tracking down. So like later we learn that Meg had contacted Sally, but Sally did not know where she was. However,
we still don't really know that. Sally said that, but we've not gotten any real confirmation of that.
And then John, so did John get her whereabouts from Sally?
No.
Or he did his own detective work?
No. What I think happened is, I think John texted her and said, I need to come see you, or I need to know where you are. Yeah, I think that's
plan?
As simple as it was. Yep, because her phone was still on. She was still like, it was still on. So, I mean, I guess technically, if you really wanted to do cop stuff, you could track her via the phone, right? You can see, like, where the bloop, bleep, bleep. No, I think he just reached out to her, I do. I think it's like, you know, like, it was getting real in the courtroom, like, hey.
Cell phone bill going?
She probably changed her address to the L.A. place.
So couldn't the court people looking for her, how does all that work in the court? If they're trying to find you as a as a suspect, can't they track you down with your phone number?
Yes. The answer, I think, is yes. But see? This is TV, right? Oh. I don't know. You're right.
I'm a little at a loss on that part because I feel like if she would have, if she skipped town so hard that she's really trying to get
right,
away
like
from
all
everyone,
the bills would be like, clean slate, yeah, all around, new
and
phone number.
New phone number, right. New everything. I am gone. I am dead to you. I am gone.
Unless
so,
she had two phones. I'm like...
Amy seemed very crafty. I wouldn't put it past her. But anyway, so that's a little fuzzy for me. Regardless, John Founder shows up.
Yep.
She doesn't let anyone know that he's her brother. In fact, she's telling people she's parentless, which she sort of is.
She feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an honest feeling.
It's an honest feeling. And she's very clear with John and she says, nope, there's no way I'm going back to that town to feel like the little kid that I was when I hated myself, when you were telling me to hide better and you're always putting me down, making me clean up your ish. All of this, nope, not coming back.
And yet that changed pretty much in 17 hours. Because suddenly it was, okay, do you really, if you really need me, if you just really need me.
Yeah. Or my favorite was the friend said, oh, I think I saw your brother. He's like
crying.
He's like crying, yep. Parked up on the thing. I don't know. Go check on him. She goes and checks on him and she gets out of the car and she's like, were you really going to leave without saying bye to me, John Rayburn? It's like, hello, you skipped town. Of course, like, hello. Of course he would leave.
Yeah. He's going to say peace out too.
Strange.
This is in the fam, man.
It's very strange.
It's
very strange.
It's the Rayburn way.
Ay-ay-ay.
See you later. But not really. I'm not going to say
but
that to you.
Really.
I'm just going to make you infer that I said it to the ether.
And I'm going to leave you without saying goodbye. Don't you leave me without saying it.
Because mm-hmm. I'm Amy now.
Cause
and you don't
Amy.
Do that to Amy.
That's right.
No.
Damn it. You treat Amy with respect.
Oy vey.
Oy vey indeed.
Uh-huh.
So
we really have no clarity on anything with Amy at this point. We don't know if she's going to go back. We really just, we just know she's alive. And that's pretty much the picture that we've painted. If we move on to sort of things that emerge with Chelsea and things that Chelsea has now said.
Yes.
That sort of circles back to Meg.
Yeah, because, okay, so now, yes, the O'Bannons are now crafting this story that goes back to Meg, which was actually quite clever. Meg, her whereabouts are unknown.
Unknown. She skipped town.
She skipped town.
That certainly looks suspicious.
Very suspicious. And she went the day after Marco's murder.
Yep.
Eric certainly didn't kill Marco, so, you know, who may have? Oh, the girl who disappeared. So they're really trying to pin this on Meg, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like it may fit. They've got this whole kind of story concocted. Then Sally comes to the rescue.
Yep.
Or something, depending on who she's rescuing.
Okay, but first, Chelsea did say, I dropped her off at Marco's house.
She did, in the
from
testimony.
The bar. And so that was the big sort of clincher for episode 7, is, okay, this could be the testimony that we need to bring it all down and get Eric good and gone from being a suspect or whatever. And then, of course, Sally. And I didn't see this coming the way that they did it. Because at first I thought, oh my gosh, she's literally now revealing. And it was so good for Mia, the way she kind of brought it all home. Like, okay, you've created a family of liars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello, jury.
Yeah.
Everything is a lie.
Yeah.
But yet still, somehow, they make Sally look like an angel. An angel
like,
sent from the heavens.
And as if it was so calculated. I mean, she looked just like a crazy mother up on the stand, just talking, crying, telling her heart out. But at the end, it was like all calculated.
All calculated. Because John in the car says, I guess when he was dropping her off after court or whatever, is like, so I didn't know that that's what happened. Or when and then she was like, it didn't happen.
I get the lies making my head spin.
Yeah.
Truly, but really, she cements her story. She does her magic. Basically, she says, no, it could not have been Meg. Meg was with me. And then this was my feel. I was talking to Allison earlier about this because I said, okay, well, okay. So at the end of the trial, we had Kevin's word of identifying the shooter as Eric O'Bannon versus Mama Rayburn's word of saying, oh no, Meg couldn't have done it either. So it was like word against word, depending on if Eric did it or not. And yet somehow it still was like, you know what I mean? The word won. There was no proof in either case. No proof that Eric did it. No proof that Meg did it. No proof, but still.
Well, outside of the fact that he had the gun in his possession.
Okay.
That's the big clincher.
Right.
Even though John handed him that gun.
I want to slap Eric O'Bannon.
I know. I
know. Why did you take it, Eric?
I know.
Throw that stuff in the river.
It just doesn't make sense. Can we also talk about why we're suddenly seeing Sally's dead mother?
I would love to talk about why we're suddenly seeing.
I don't know. Like, at first I was like, who is this woman? And then I was like, okay.
But what do we learn? Okay, so...
Yeah, what did we learn?
What did we learn?
What did we learn? I feel like the only thing that we learned was in the first time that she was... that she was introduced to us when they were sitting on the porch. There was conversation happening about her leaving the hut, like Robert, and things of this nature. And I have to be honest, I was watching it going, I was still very confused at who I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I didn't rewind it, but I feel like that was the grit of the conversation, because then thereafter it was sort of just like, Mama, are you cold? Mama, sit down.
Mama, you look tired.
Yeah, well, you're tired because you're dead. So I don't know. Maybe that's why you look tired. I don't, what's happening right now? All of a sudden.
Why are you here?
Sally is talking to dead people, which I think runs in the family now too, because John did it last season. Danny is doing it. Yeah.
Oh,
so
Danny.
Maybe they're extending the theme. We would not have the true season of Bloodline without one character talking to a dead person.
They are all mediums.
Yes, they're all mediums.
I think that is the spinoff.
It's great.
For the Rayburns.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, we do, we reveal like a tiny bit of Sally's past, but I don't know that it was really anything groundbreaking.
No!
I mean, we learn that her father had to go to prison.
Right. Well, no, but is that a lie now?
Well... I don't know. I don't remember what the mother said in terms of that, because I feel like that was part of their conversation that they were having about, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Confused.
But it was brought up, and so hopefully we'll have more reference to that. I don't think they'll just bring the mother for one episode, right? We're going to have more flashbacks of the dead mother.
We must. Because I like that actress, by the way. I was like, I've seen you. Yeah. I think you were in Beverly Hills 90210. What was she on? I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look now.
Yeah.
Well... Really, the clincher, I think, for all of this is where we ended up at the end of episode 7 when Sally comes back from the trial and pays Gilbert a visit. She goes, they're at his house or whatever, wherever they're conducting these conversations from the previous episodes. And it's like they're on the same page. It's like Sally.
They're working together.
Yes. Sally has come back around. She sees light. She's on Gilbert's page. Because for many episodes, she was saying, stay away. He's no good. We're this, we're that. Get away. Even she had strong words to him, stay out of our business, whatever. Now she's just thrown all out the window. They're looking for some help or something. She made a request. Do you know someone? Do you have a guy?
Right.
Oh, geez. What other guy do you need? What's going on here?
Well, and then he also says, are they going to be fine?
Are they ready?
Are they ready? Right. So all this is suspect. I loved it. My favorite Roy Gilbert quote so far, for all that sweetness, you're about as cold-blooded as they come. And I'm like, yes, indeed, Roy Gilbert.
Indeed.
In fact, indeed. Sally Rayburn is as cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded.
Season 1, man. Did I say it? I said it. I was like, she is an icy woman. Uh-huh. She is icy. Okay, can we just real quick, though, also say... So just as Lenny Potts was sort of trying to do the come to Jesus with John, Ozzy shows up and tries to do the same thing with Sally.
But really?
A little bit. He did it. And he was actually, I mean, I really appreciated the scene. God bless John Leguizamo. He's so fabulous.
So fabulous.
But it was sort of like, you know, he's so worried about her, that shadow you feel inside, you can get rid of it just by talking. And so maybe then that's where the dead mom comes along, because she's now talking out loud, or she's seeing the priest or whatever it is. I don't know. But it's really not. I don't know if it helped.
No, I don't know either. It's heavy. But isn't John Leguizamo great as Ozzy with that whole kind of like swarmy, manipulative, whatever, like these conversations he's having with Sally and Kevin in the previous episode, and he just comes up and they ask his name and he won't give it, and he just changes the conversation, and he's just like such a web spinner, you know, and then people are all like, what are you saying to me?
I love it. He must have
amazing.
He had to have so much fun with this character.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so basically episode 7, Eric is still being dumped all over. Now Chelsea is being dumped all over. It's just a whole big mess.
O'Bannon dump fest.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah. I just, I don't know anymore.
Right, and that.
This is not looking in any way like there's going to be.
Any hope. No hope.
Right. Outside of Diana and Belle.
Right. ooh, yeah, I don't know. And then it's like now the trial was just so suddenly over, too. Did you get that feeling?
We haven't heard of closing arguments, and I don't know if we will. I don't know if we will. Maybe, like, is that...
It's like it's
Mia
done.
Mia saying, well, you're going to... It's the 30 years or death.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I don't know. I really felt in a strange ending on that because it was so abrupt and it was just like, oh, trial's over. And then we get John having the dream, wakes up and texts Meg. Like, that was the impetus to text Meg. The dream woke him up and he said, oh, got to text Meg. I don't know.
Hide better?
Like, is that a threat? What are you saying, John?
That was super strange. Well, really, I think it all kind of came to a head because of Chelsea and the whole Percocet thing. Because essentially her testimony, any testimony from her would be seen as...
The timing. You know, Chelsea.
Right, the timing was...
Those O'Bannons, I just... Oh, okay. Should we jump into some predictions?
Yes.
Are we good? Did we need anything else?
No, I think...
I think that's it. You're after Buzz TV. Okay, this is the hardest part of the after show for me because I'm just they're just all over.
They are.
So this is my prediction. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
What if Gilbert?
Yep.
Is actually all of the children's fathers?
Oh, really?
What if Robert Rayburn was just a facade?
Why?
I don't know. I haven't worked it out yet. Okay. But
okay.
Why are they so close with Gilbert? It's very strange.
Well, I think that it's possible that still that he might be the one that she was going to leave Robert for.
What if Gilbert is one of them's fathers?
That, I think, is more...
Danny's father?
No, I think it might be...
Sarah's father.
John's
someone's father. I don't know. Like, something. There's some... It's strange. There's some deeper shadiness happening.
Yes!
I mean, obviously.
There's definitely... I don't know.
I sense a little something like that.
There's 100% something between them that has yet to be...
Deep.
Has yet to be uncovered. Let me speak English.
That's it.
I still think, okay, so the whole Belle, Diana thing... I mean, perhaps that's how the tower topples.
But would they? Would they really?
Somehow. Or maybe they're going to go and have a conversation with Chelsea. I don't know. I mean, something needs to happen because for sure Belle is not going to be able to... She is much too much of a... Wait, what? She can't stay in that relationship if she feels like Kevin's been lying to her. She for sure... I mean, I don't see that happening.
Because they already had their issues too before the baby where it was... almost done.
Right. So there has to be something there. And I don't know. I still think that there's some hope that between Ozzy and Nolan, there's... And Beth? Question mark?
Beth, who are you? Beth? Who are you?
I feel like you should email...
Yes. Eric O'Bannon.
Yep. And ask him. Before the finale.
Yes.
So that we have
this all understood by the end. Yes.
Or everyone that's watching, please send Blake and I a tweet.
Please help us.
Because we just really don't understand.
Need to know.
Like, did we see her in season one?
And just completely missed.
And like, now we're having severe amnesia about that. I don't know.
We're going to get to the bottom of this by the end of the episode.
I just mark feel like our now, words. I can exhale now. I was like holding it all in. Ooh. And 6 and 7 are a done.
Yes.
Are a dunner.
Are a dunner. Indeed. Great words to end on. This after show is...
Don't be a dunner.
It's a dunner. We are dunners. All right. I think that has covered every nook and cranny of episodes 6 and 7 that we possibly could.
Lordy.
We have a lot still to tie up. It's a lot going on. But thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. We love having you here. We love discussing all of this with you, with one of our fave shows, Bloodline. I've been your host, Blake V. You can find me on all the social meds at Blake V Media.
The social meds. And I'm Allison Dean. You can find me on the social meds. I'm not stealing that from you, Blake.
Please,
don't worry.
Darryl, please.
You can find me at the Allison Dean. And please find me and tweet at me.
Yes, and you will find us here next Monday.
Yes!
For episodes 8 and 9.
On
the Bloodline After Show. Oh, see you guys later.
Bye!
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.